Chapter 12. Sorcery and Sudden Vengeance. Meanwhile, Trumpkin and the two boys arrived at the dark little stone archway which led into the inside of the mound, and two sentinel badgers, the white patches on their cheeks were all Edmund could see of them, leapt up with bared teeth and asked in snarling voices, "Who goes there?" "Trumpkin," said the dwarf, "bringing the High King of Narnia out of the far past." The badgers nosed at the boys' hands.
"At last," they said, "at last."
"Give us a light, friends," said Trumpkin. The badgers found a torch just inside the arch, and Peter lit it and handed it to Trumpkin. "The DLF had better lead," he said. "We don't know our way about this place." Trumpkin took the torch and went ahead into the dark tunnel. It was a cold, black, musty place, with an occasional bat fluttering in the torchlight and plenty of cobwebs. The boys, who had been mostly in the open air since that morning at the railway station, felt as if they were going into a trap or a prison.
"I say, Peter," whispered Edmund, "look at those carvings on the walls. Don't they look old? And yet we're older than that. When we were last here, they hadn't been made."
"Yes," said Peter, "that makes one think." The dwarf went on ahead, and then turned to the right, and then to the left, and then down some steps, and then to the left again. Then, at last, they saw a light ahead, light from under a door. And now, for the first time, they heard voices, for they had come to the door of the central chamber. The voices inside were angry ones. Someone was talking so loudly that the approach of the boys and the dwarf had not been heard.
"Don't like the sound of that," whispered Trumpkin to Peter. "Let's listen for a moment."
All three stood perfectly still on the outside of the door.
"You know well enough," said a voice. "That's the king," whispered Trumpkin. "Why, the horn was not blown at sunrise this morning. Have you forgotten that Miraz fell upon us almost before Trumpkin had gone, and we were fighting for our lives for the space of 3 hours and more? I blew it when first I had a breathing space." "I'm not likely to forget it," came the angry voice, "when my dwarfs bore the brunt of the attack and 1 in 5 of them fell."
"That's Nikobrik," whispered Trumpkin.
"For shame, dwarf," came a thick voice.
"Truffle hunters," said Trumpkin.
"We all did as much as the dwarfs and none more than the king."
"Tell that tale your own way for all I care," answered Nikobrik. "But whether it was that the horn was blown too late or whether there was no magic in it, no help has come. You great clerk, you master magician, you know all. Are you still asking us to hang our hopes on Aslan and King Peter and all the rest of it?"
"I must confess, I can't deny it, that I am deeply disappointed in the result of the operation," came the answer.
"That'll be Dr. Cornelius," said Trumpkin.
"To speak plainly," said Nikobrik, "your wallet's empty, your eggs addled, your fish uncaught, your promises broken. Stand aside, then, and let others work, that is why."
"The help will come," said Truffle Hunter. "I stand by Aslan. Have patience, like us beasts. The help will come. It may be even now at the door."
"Pah!" snarled Nikobrik. "You badgers have us wait till the sky falls and we can all catch larks. I tell you, we can't wait. Food is running short. We lose more than we can afford at every encounter. Our followers are slipping away."
"And why?" asked Truffle Hunter. "I'll tell you why. Because it is noised among them that we have called on the kings of old, and the kings of old have not answered. The last words Trumpkin spoke before he went, and went most likely to his death, were, 'If you must blow the horn, do not let the army know why you blow it or what you hope from it.' But that same evening everyone seemed to know."
"You'd better have shoved your grey snout in a hornet's nest, badger, than suggest that I am the blab," said Nikobrik. "Take it back, or—"
"Oh, stop it, both of you," said King Caspian. "I want to know what it is that Nikobrik keeps on hinting we should do. But before that, I want to know who these two strangers are whom he has brought into our council and who stand there with their ears open and their mouths shut."
"They are friends of mine," said Nikobrik. "And what better right have you yourself to be here than that you are a friend of Trumpkin's and the badgers? And what right is that old dotard in that black gown to be here except that he is your friend? Why am I to be the only one who can't bring in his friends?"
"His Majesty the King is to whom you have sworn allegiance," said Truffle Hunter sternly.
"Court manners, court manners," sneered Knickerbrick. "But in this hole we may talk plainly. You know and he knows that this Telmarine boy will be king of nowhere in a week unless we can help him out of the trap in which he sits."
"Perhaps," said Cornelius. "Your new friends would like to speak for themselves. You there, who and what are you?"
"Worshipful Master Doctor," came a thin, whining voice. "So please you, I am only a poor old woman, I am, and very obliged to his worshipful dwarfship for his friendship, I'm sure. His Majesty, bless his handsome face, has no need to be afraid of an old woman that's nearly doubled up with the rheumatics and hasn't two sticks to put under her kettle. I have some poor little skill, not like yours, Master Doctor, of course, in small spells and cantrips that I'd be glad to use against our enemies if it was agreeable to all concerned, for I hate 'em. Oh, yes, no one hates better than me."
"That is all most interesting and satisfactory," said Dr. Cornelius. "I think I now know what you are, madam. Perhaps your other friend, Knickerbrick, would give some account of himself." A dull, grey voice at which Peter's flesh crept replied, "I'm hunger, I'm thirst. Where I bite, I hold till I die, and even after death they must cut out my mouthful from my enemy's body and bury it with me. I can fast 100 years and not die. I can lie 100 nights on the ice and not freeze. I can drink a river of blood and not burst. Show me your enemies."
"And it is in the presence of these two that you wish to disclose your plan?" said Caspian.
"Yes," said Knickerbrick, "and by their help that I mean to execute it."
There was a minute or two during which Trumpkin and the boys could hear Caspian and his two friends speaking in low voices, but could not make out what they were saying. Then Caspian spoke aloud.
"Well, Knickerbrick," he said, "we will hear your plan."
There was a pause so long that the boys began to wonder if Knickerbrick was ever going to begin. When he did, it was in a lower voice, as if he himself did not much like what he was saying.
"All said and done," he muttered, "none of us knows the truth about the ancient days in Narnia. Trumpkin believed none of the stories. I was ready to put them to the trial. We tried first the horn, and it has failed. If ever there was a High King Peter and a Queen Susan and a King Edmund and a Queen Lucy, then either they have not heard us, or they cannot come, or they are our enemies."
"Or they are on the way," put in Truffle Hunter.
"You can go on saying that till Miraz has fed us all to his dogs. As I was saying, we have tried one link in the chain of old legends, and it has done us no good. Well, but when your sword breaks, you draw your dagger. The stories tell of other powers besides the ancient kings and queens. How if we could call them up?"
"If you mean Aslan," said Truffle Hunter, "it's all one calling on him and on the kings. They were his servants. If he will not send them, but I make no doubt he will, is he more likely to come himself?"
"No, you're right there," said Knickerbrick. "Aslan and the kings go together. Either Aslan is dead, or he is not on our side, or else something stronger than himself keeps him back. And if he did come, how do we know he'd be our friend? He was not always a good friend to dwarfs, by all that's told. Not even to all beasts. Ask the wolves. And anyway, he was in Narnia only once that I ever heard of, and he didn't stay long. You may drop Aslan out of the reckoning. I was thinking of someone else."